Dun, dun, dun. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring episode 10. This is our special 10th episode. The number 10 has always had a special significance both to Magic players and non-Magic players alike. So we're glad we're here. We're still doing it. And I'm glad you guys are here too. Welcome.
Yay!
Congratulations, guys.
Happy 10.
You made it.
My name is Ben, and we're doing a podcast about learning magic, getting better at magic. I've been playing magic on and off for about 15 years, and recently I taught my friend Maria how to play magic.
You did.
And she got super duper addicted and is making me do this podcast. If you're listening, please send help.
If you're listening, don't send help. It's pretty funny to see Ben tied up to a chair.
This is Maria.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maria. And we have two special guests with us today.
We do. Super special guests. Previous special guest of the show, Taylor.
Hey, it's me. I'm back.
Taylor's back. Taylor is still a dude, despite his name. And we also have Dan.
Hey, I'm here for the first time.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
So, Taylor, you've been playing a long time on and off.
That's true.
And Dan, how about you? How long?
I've been playing a long time, but all off.
All off. Yeah. So you started and you quit immediately.
I quit right away, firsthand.
Yeah.
I mulliganed on my entire magic career.
Yeah.
And then 15 years later, you drew six cards.
Pretty much. Yeah. I started maybe in, let's say, eighth grade.
Okay.
Which was many years ago. Probably about 15. And then, yeah. Played pretty a lot for like 2-3 years. Like bought when my brother bought a ton of cards.
Oh, nice.
Boxes and boxes of cards. And then he went off to college and I was all alone.
Fuck.
And solo magic isn't as fun.
Yeah. I know.
So I stopped.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then your brother died in the war.
Then he died in the big war.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War
brother
2.
Against brother.
Yep. We were against each other. Summoners
so
on the
you
field.
You won.
I won the war.
Yeah.
You helped him prepare for the war.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel guilty that he wasn't prepared enough to avoid dying?
Well, I feel like it's good for me because I won. Although it's bittersweet because now I don't have anybody to play magic.
Yeah. Your mom stopped making brothers.
Exactly. She quit after me.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah. Then she made a daughter.
Ugh.
But
throw that shit back.
I know.
Well, welcome to the show. Not just for new people, we're also for returning people, or really anyone who wants to get better.
That's right. And if you'd like to say hi to us, you can check out our website at magictheamateuring.com, shoot us an email at magictheamateuring@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. We've got a great show coming up. We're going to talk to these two guests here about Two-Headed Giant. So new players, if you've never tried Two-Headed Giant, get your learning hat on.
Multiplayer!
And if you're an old player and you're familiar with Two-Headed Giant, get your...
Just get your ignoring hat on.
Your relearning hat.
Just tune us out.
But keep it on. Just tune us out.
Yeah.
Like paint your bedroom. You've been meaning to do it.
Pretend that you're being lectured by Dan's mom.
Yeah.
We're also going to bring back our very popular Create a Card segment. I shouldn't say it's very popular with listeners, but it's popular with me because I think it's hilarious. Mm. We are slowly but surely, every show, building a play set.
A terrible set.
It's awful. But it may be amusing to play with once we get to that magic number of...
Of 10. Once we have 10 cards.
10 cards? Okay.
Yes.
So far, we have 4 cards. We have 4 cards.
That's almost halfway.
Yeah. And it's our 10th episode, so happy birthday to us.
Yay. Wait. 10, what does 10 mean for birthdays? How does that relate?
Well, when you're 10, wasn't that one of your best birthdays?
When I was 10 weeks? Or 10 episodes?
Well, when you're a baby, your parents...
podcast years, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a podcast is a year.
Every podcast is 1 year.
That's true. Listeners, if it's taking you a year to listen to each podcast, there's probably a problem with the audio playback settings on your iPod.
And probably your brain.
If you can listen to a 1 hour podcast over the course of a year, I'd say
that's
there's something
good,
amazing about your brain.
If you can follow along that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're playing at that slow speed.
Like, I would just forget what syllable we were on.
is a segment where we go over something pretty basic for new players. Mm. And this week we're talking about Two-Headed Giant.
Mm-hmm. It's a multiplayer format, and it's pretty sweet. The four of us just played...
We just did.
A Two-Headed Giant sealed Gatecrash game. So we took some Gatecrash packs, so we made decks out of them, and then we battled Two-Headed Giant style.
It's true.
Yeah, and Taylor and I were victorious. I just want to point that out.
Well,
yeah, there was some cheating.
There was a lot of attempted cheating.
We don't know how much successful cheating. I have video recording, so I'll be going over the recording.
Game tape afterwards.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We did lose. We played best out of three, and we only won a single game, and that's less than two. Yeah. One is less than
but
two.
But a decisive victory right out the gate.
Yeah, true. Which a lot of times is more important because it sets the tone of the relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 We could have snowballed out of control and won all three.
Yeah, like...
Could have, I think, being the operative phrase.
Right. Right, like, if you say you're going on three dates with a woman and you can only have sex with her after one of those dates, would you rather it was the first date or this, like, the third date?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say first because that's the game we won.
I have a question, though.
But in reality, I think I would probably say third.
Is it three dates no matter what?
Yeah, it's three dates. You have to go on three
dates.
Like,
even if you're really bad at sex.
It's usually best two out of three dates.
You get one bad date.
So if you have two, you would lose
that every time.
Yeah, if you have two good dates in a row, you don't have to go on a third date.
Right,
because you've already won the date. You can just say...
And if you have two bad dates in a row, you also don't have to go on the third date.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rule of threes.
Two out of three works for everything in life.
Yeah. So if you're on a second date and you don't seal the deal, don't even try. Don't even bother showing up.
Okay, I was going to say after the third date.
In that situation, you've had one bad date and one good date.
Yeah, so now you just need a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Right.
And also, whenever you have a good date, the person you're on a date with has a bad date. Unless you draw.
Yeah.
Right?
And you did both is, if you draw, it's just a waste of both of your times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worse than one of you having a bad date and one of you having a good date. Much worse.
What is a draw date? God, that would be even worse. I agree.
Yeah, you can't decide how you feel about
no
them.
No one gets any packs.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Ben. Two-Headed Giant.
Yeah, Two-Headed Giant. Two-Headed Giant is a format where you play on two-person teams, and you have a combined life total of 30 life points instead of 20, and you have two separate decks, but you play out your turn at the same time, so you have your main phase at the same time. You drop lands, play creatures, etc. And and then like when you attack, you just attack your opponent. And if either player has creatures, they can block. And if neither player has creatures, then you get to beat them.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of pre-release events that are Two-Headed Giant sealed decks. So if you're interested in trying it out, or if it sounds like fun, maybe check it out the next time pre-release comes around.
And you build two decks with 8 packs of boosters.
Right, so you kind of have to split them up and decide, like, you know, one person is going to play these 2 or 3 colors, and the other person is going to play these 2 or 3 colors. And in Gatecrash, you have to kind of do a similar thing where you split up kind of the guilds that you have in your packs.
Right, and I noticed this was the first time I ever played Two-Headed Giant, and it was kind of interesting to say, well, you can draft this kind of, or you can build this kind of deck, and I can build this kind of deck, and we'll sort of figure out the synergy between the two decks. My deck can help yours this way, you will help me this way.
Yes. It is pretty important to have synergy between your two decks. For example, my brother and I did an M13 Two-Headed Giant sealed event, and we had a bunch of red and black cards that were just a ton of removal, but not very many creatures or ways to win, and then a bunch of like green and white cards that were just all creatures, and then like this artifact that gives all your creatures like flying, first strike, lifelink, indestructibility, like just ridiculous abilities. So he just did all that and ramped up a bunch of mana so he could cast this 7-mana artifact. And then I just like kill your guy, kill your guy, kill that guy. And so that worked really well for us, even though like my deck on its own probably would have sucked because all it could do was kill creatures, and it had no way to win. Afterwards, we played the decks against each other, and I felt sad about myself. So yes, synergy is pretty important. You do like if one deck is aggressive and the other deck is really slow, then it's like, why are you bothering? Why did you even show up? Go home. Go home to your two-headed giant bed.
Take a two-headed giant nap. Frost ring?
It's a frost ring.
It's like when you dip a drawstring from your pants in frosting.
Yeah. And then
you suck it off.
Portable and you don't have to ever put it down because it just hangs from your pants.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Or I guess it could be on your sweatshirt as well.
Yeah.
I definitely was a drawstring sucker when I was a small child.
I think 80% of Magic players were drawstring suckers.
Yeah.
That's probably not scientific, but it's just a guess. Taylor, did you?
No.
Ben.
What are we talking about?
You wore a hoodie.
A hoodie, yeah. I still wear hoodies.
Right. And it's got drawstrings.
Do I suck on them?
Yeah.
Did you?
That is fucking disgusting.
Well, it's disgusting now. Yeah, it's disgusting back then, too.
No, I never did.
All right.
Well. I was a tongue thruster, though. I sucked on my own tongue.
What does that
mean?
That's
called a tongue thruster?
Yep.
Ben, demonstrate right now. It just looks like...
You probably can't see this at home.
Just imagine, tongue thruster.
People would ask me, like... They would like think I was sucking on hard candy or something.
Are
in my
you folding
mouth.
It back in your mouth and sucking on it?
What the fuck are you talking about? No, I'm like,
she's just talking about tongue thrusting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just look.
Where's the thrust coming?
This is the only way I'm able to concentrate while playing Magic is by tongue thrusting.
Is that what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just get you some Werther's Originals?
Tap, tap, tap. Suck, suck, suck.
He looks really disturbing. Well, I'm going to look this up online because I don't know what you're doing in there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a YouTube video of it. Like they have an embedded camera in someone's mouth.
At least an animation.
Just Google tongue thrusting, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'll probably wait till I'll do it at work.
Tongue thrusting video.
I'll do it at work tomorrow morning.
Just go to tonguethrust.org. I think you'll probably find all the resources you need
okay.
on that subject.
I'm going to do that.
Totes.
I'm writing it down.
Those are just scribbles.
You have beautiful handwriting.
That's called shorthand.
Okay.
It was a thing in the 30s.
All right. So yeah, that's Two-Headed Giant. If you want more information about Two-Headed Giant, just Google Two-Headed Giant Magic.
Tongue thrusting.
Tongue thrusting.
What did you guys think of the format?
It was good because mostly Ben just told me what to do.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really good as an off player.
That's right. There is one dominant. There's a top and a bottom.
There's a top and a bottom in the two-headed
A primary player. The person on the right is the primary player and the person on the left is the secondary player.
Right.
And this only comes into play if you can't come to an agreement about what you should do.
And I was the primary player and I led by following. Mm-hmm. That's my
Smart.
Style of leadership.
And I followed by leading and by losing.
Taylor, how did you find Two-Headed Giant?
I thought it was interesting. Some of the things that, I mean, never having played on a team before, it was interesting how the, like, for example, you couldn't cipher onto my creatures, which
right.
came as a big surprise.
Right.
It's
yeah.
Not, it's not quite as simple as just playing by yourself.
Correct.
Right. Because, yeah, it was really interesting because you can, like, Blood Rush on any attacking creature, and you can, like, Battalion works with, like, it, you know, it counts your opponent's creature, so you can get Battalion much quicker. But then, yeah, you're right. Like, stuff like Cypher doesn't work, and, yeah, it's just kind of somewhat random, like, how that affects... how it's all affected by the fact that there's now twice as many players.
Right, and because Cypher says creature you control.
Yeah, right. And it just comes down to how, you know, the wording of the abilities. And it's also, It's kind of interesting because, you know, usually you want to discuss with your partner what you're going to do. And because of that, it can be hard to, like, conceal information from your opponent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you both speak another language.
Right.
Or both new shorthand. And we can just write notes back and forth.
Yeah.
Dan, do you speak any other languages?
I speak very little of many other languages.
Okay.
Maybe enough with all of them combined.
Yeah. I just need to know this and that and do. Right? And then you can just point.
Yeah.
That would have worked.
But couldn't you just do that in English?
Yeah, I guess. But they wouldn't know if I was saying this or that. They didn't know.
That's true, like, yeah.
Which one's like, I don't know. First.
Yeah. Stealthy.
I think Two-Headed Giant is a pretty great format for new players if they're playing with an experienced player.
Yeah.
You know, they can get
so
some...
So if you have an older brother who hasn't been, who hasn't died for his country yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, rope him in. Make him teach you, even if he's never played before.
And then outclass him and take him down when the revolution comes.
Yeah, right on, brother.
I think it's also pretty good for a more of a low-key game, because when it's like head-to-head, one-on-one, I don't know, it's like everything's on you, but you can...
Yeah.
It's easy to just be like, we're just having a good time when it's...
Right, there's less conversation in a two-player game, I think, maybe, because, you know... Either I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, or you're thinking about what you're going to do. But when there's four people, it's like, woo, like, I can just do all the thinking and you guys can all talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
It was more intimidating in the fact that there was a lot more creatures out there, and it was longer. It went longer.
Yeah. Yeah, the games definitely tend to go longer because there's so many creatures out. It gets harder. It gets a lot harder to attack when there's a lot of creatures just because... Like, the person who's blocking always has the advantage of, like, deciding, you know, who they want to block, and they can trade off crappier creatures for bigger creatures or whatever. So, yeah, I think it's important to have removal, big flyers, stuff like that. We had a... Dan and I had an Aurelia, but we did not get to play her.
No, you didn't.
We did have a Boros Reckoner that was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was
Actually use any of his abilities, though. But he was really intimidating.
Yeah.
The threat.
Threat of activation.
And you guys were like, we don't have any creatures out. Damn it.
Yeah.
But the main question is, how do you two feel after having shared an intestine?
We feel good.
Good on the inside.
Did you take benefit of Ben's superior digestion skills?
Definitely. Normally it takes me a long time to digest things.
Right.
Yeah.
But with Ben's intestine, I found my snacks move through me really quickly.
And normally I have problems finding food. Mm-hmm. So that helped that someone else was just shoving them in there.
Yeah, Ben did a lot of strategizing. I just ate frosting right out of the can the whole time.
Taylor and I's bladder was huge.
It allows you more endurance in the game. You don't have to get up to go to the bathroom and exposing you to
people. And if it starts peeking at your hands. If it starts raining, instead of your cards getting water damaged, you can just drink all of that water and not worry about where it's all going
to
go.
There's benefit to having two heads and one body.
Yeah.
Lessons learned. This is the part of the show where we explain a valuable lesson that I've learned as a new player. Mm. This week, I learned a lesson the hard way by losing.
Mm.
I kept a one-lander in a draft.
Mm.
And guess what? It didn't work out.
Mm. Wow.
The reason I kept it is because I was playing Boros, which, listener, you may know is my favorite guild to play. And I had a one drop, and I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. I've never been more wrong.
So Maria.
So yeah.
Why did you do this? Do you want to talk about why it was wrong, or do you just need to feel some guilt?
I know why it was wrong. You've told me before. I heard Ben's voice in my head when I kept it, and his voice was saying, "Maria, if you do not draw a land on your next turn, what's the worst thing that could happen? That's what you need to think. What is the worst thing that could happen if I don't draw a land for two turns? What if I don't draw it for three? Which is exactly what happened. I didn't draw another land until the third turn. That's why it was bad.
Yeah.
Well, Maria.
Yeah.
It sounds like you got exactly what you deserve.
I did. So please, hurt me.
Maria, you're terrible.
Okay.
You're awful.
That's pretty much the worst thing you could do.
Your forehead is poorly shaped.
You look dumb in those headphones.
And no one wants to be your friend or understands why anyone else would want to be your friend. It goes two levels deep.
I wouldn't share an intestine with you if I didn't have one myself. I wouldn't accept yours. I would rather die from not being able to digest food. And you'll have to live on one piece of land all by yourself.
Yeah, an island. Or maybe just a small planet all to yourself.
Like the little
in the
prince.
Vega system.
That's lonely, you
far
guys.
Away.
That's really lonely.
Well, that one land was lonely in your hand.
Yeah, and you didn't. You're like, oh, this land doesn't deserve to have any friends, and now you don't deserve to have any friends.
Magic is about friendship, and you should always have cards that are friends in your hand.
Yeah.
Think about which cards in your hand would want to date each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lands stick with lands. That's the first rule of card dating.
Yeah. Someday they'll change that law.
Yeah. But now we're in America.
Mm.
You guys, you're doing a great job of publicly shaming me.
You're welcome.
To all our listeners.
You're welcome.
I have an insult for myself. When I kept that one lander, it was like I was the British Empire after the sun set on it.
Yeah.
Just one land.
That's true. Except there's a...
No longer the island. Mistress of the sea.
Taylor, you didn't insult me.
I'm the only one here who's not an improviser.
You, I'm sure you've got a mean bone in your body.
Yeah.
That's what we call him. We call him Mean Bone Taylor. Mean Bone Taylor, the insult flailer.
Well, I can say this. Your British Empire insult was pretty bad.
So true. So Maria, just to rub it in, I want to let you know that the other day I kept a one-lander and I won that game.
Was that game against me?
No.
Oh.
It was against someone else. A real player.
That hurt more than anything you've said so far.
Ding. So here is the key about how I managed to keep a one-lander and get away with it. I was on the draw, first of all, so I knew I had two turns to draw another land, and I had four 2-mana spells in my hand and one swamp, and they were all black spells. So I knew that if I drew any other land, I would have at least, you know, four turns where I could play something. And two of those spells were Devour Flesh, so it was going to kill whatever their creature was anyway. And that card's usually something you want to play right away anyway. So, like, fuck, man. And then my opponent played 8 swamps in a row and did not find white mana.
Yikes.
She didn't find her white mana until, like, halfway through the game. So that helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I won that game pretty easily.
What do you guys think is a worse hand? A one-lander or a 6-lander?
Definitely. I'd say definitely a one-lander. But it depends on what that spell is, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah. Usually both of them, you just usually want a mulligan.
It's like a 7-2 in poker in Hold'em.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, 7-2. 7 lands, 2 spells.
I cast Flush.
Flush. Hold on.
I tap your pair for a full house.
I feel like I was just in the stocks at the Renaissance Festival.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are your wrists sore?
They're always sore.
Mm. But just at... So just at...
Does a lot of dumbbell lifting.
So just...
No, I jerk off a lot of dumbbells. Oh,
this is just at the Renaissance Festival, so we're not even talking about, like, actual medieval times. So you... Chose to make an analogy back to a simulation.
If you break character at the Renaissance Fair, yeah, but... you have to go in the stockades.
So you haven't... feel like your wrists are sore and you're slightly historically accurate.
They do that at the Renaissance Festival.
I believe you, but why? Why not just say it like I was in the Renaissance?
Because at the Renaissance Fair, that is one of the things that they do. Like, they put you in the stocks and you pay them $5 to make fun of that person for like 5 minutes.
But didn't they? Isn't that because that's what they did in Renaissance times?
I think they probably just threw meat at them.
Yeah, like raw meat.
Oh, and because of the crippling meat shortage. In this country.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
they can only throw, like, corn syrup.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's probably just horse meat anyway.
Yeah. Nice one.
Thanks.
Okay. Relevant. I'll have to check out this Renaissance Festival. It sounds like a great place to meet normal people.
This episode is sponsored by
the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Look, Ben, we all know you hate the Renaissance Festival.
Get a turkey leg.
Yeah. I've been there. I enjoyed the squire dogs.
Are those dogs dressed up like squires?
No, they're hot dogs.
Oh.
But they're called squire dogs.
It sounded adorable for a second. It was like a little dog with a
there
cap
are costume
with a
dogs there.
Good.
For sure.
Because that's how things were in the Renaissance. People dressed
yeah,
up
people
their dogs.
People were dressing up their dogs.
In modern day garb.
People were eating hot dogs and calling them other things.
Look, it was all worth it to throw an axe and have it stick on the bullseye.
What does that mean?
That sounds like frontier days.
That's one of the things you can do. Anyway.
That should be a magic card. Axe bullseye. Cards of the week.
Week, week, week.
Maria, what's your card of this week? What card do you have a psychic crush on?
Well, I played Orzhov for the first time in a draft.
Ooh.
This past week.
Black white guild.
Yes. And it was quite exciting. And I decided to go along the lines of I saw an interview with Melissa DeTora, who was the first woman to get in the top eight at a pro tour in the history of Magic. And she did a kind of a deck analysis and she drafted Orzhov at this tournament. And she said she really liked drafting an aggressive deck with a lot of removal, and Ben has also told me that he likes to draft Orzhov with a lot of removal. And so what I did was exactly that, because my first card I opened was an Angelic Skirmisher, which is quite good, and I just took a whole shit ton of removal when it came to me.
Mm.
And there was something you had said also to me recently, Ben, was that you should prioritize removal unless there is a better creature in the deck.
Right.
And that was something I hadn't really thought of it that way before, for whatever reason. And so that just kind of gave me a new spin on it. And so I just wanted to touch on black removal in general.
Sure.
And what your thoughts of it were. Obviously, Killing Glare is fantastic.
It's one of the best removal spells. And we'll let our guest read it.
Oh, Killing Glare costs a skull and X. It is an instant spell. Destroy target creature with power X or less.
Yeah, that card's a superstar.
Yep. A casual glance into a dark corner may be your last.
Dun dun.
Nice.
Flavor text.
Nice. Nicely done.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is powerful because it can basically kill anything. You just have to come up with the mana, which usually by that point in the game, you have as much mana as they have power on a creature. So
right.
You're usually able to do it. You do have to be a little careful. If they manage to like pump their guy, they might be able to counter your spell because it won't have power X or less. So if you can afford to pay extra, just go ahead and do it.
And a card like Devour Flesh right here.
Yeah.
Taylor?
I think I read Devour Flesh last time, but
did you really?
I'm getting pretty good at it.
You're an expert.
From memory, please.
Target player sacrifices a creature, then gains life equal to that creature's toughness, an instant for two.
And this is a card that I don't think if you were my teacher, Ben, I would want to play, because
wait, what?
Well,
if I were your teacher, you wouldn't want to play this?
No, if you weren't my teacher.
Oh, okay.
Because...
So if you had learned on the streets...
Right. If I had learned from, like, say, a magic frog...
Yeah.
...had taught me to play...
Osmodeus, the magic frog?
A frog that plays magic, you mean, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. He's not in any way magical.
Right.
He just plays.
Pretty dexterous, though, to be able to tap cards with frog legs.
Yeah, but he has science has allowed him to play magic.
Have you
not
seen
magic.
Some of the freak frog set they have now?
Nature finds a way.
So true.
Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I would not find it appealing whatsoever that my opponent would gain life equal to the creature that I've just killed.
Yeah.
To me, I hear this about a lot of new players, that they're afraid of their opponent gaining life. Mm. And they're also afraid of taking their own life away in exchange for something.
So the way you should think about this is that this is one-time life gain. And one-time life gain is not very good, because usually in a magic game there's lots of creatures out, and creatures can do a certain amount of damage every turn, right? Because they get to attack once per turn.
Right.
So having a creature on the turn that can do damage every turn is way better than one-time life gain. Unless, you know, that life gain is, like, really high, like 15 or 20 life. Because this is just going to get rid of something, and you're going to be able to get in an attack and cancel out the amount of damage that the amount of life they gained. Now, repeated life gain is pretty bad. Like, if your opponent has a lifelink creature out where they have the potential of gaining life every turn, that's really bad because...
Wait a second, though. Question.
What?
You don't like Zurichi Tiger.
Well, Zurichi Tiger isn't terrible. It's not the worst.
Okay.
But gaining life for yourself is not as good as doing damage to your opponent, because having, like, 40 life is not better than having 20 life, really. Like, but having more life is much better than having zero life.
Right. It's not having more life is not going to win you the game.
Right. Exactly. Unless you have a card that says you win the game if you have more, if you have a lot of life.
Does that card exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
What card is that?
Super life.
Super life. If you have a lot of life, you win the game. That's what it says.
You guys are full of it.
And then you just argue with your opponent about how much life it is.
Yeah, the flavor text says, "Hey guys, I win."
I'll look it up. But yeah, Devour Flesh is good.
Right, and Death's Approach, which is one mana, enchanted creature gets -X/-X, where X is the number of creature cards in its controller's graveyard, is great, especially if you have a lot of removal.
A lot of other removal spells, yeah. You don't want to have, like, three of these in your deck, probably, because if you have them all in one hand at the same time, you're just going to cry yourself to sleep.
I had two of them in my deck, and I found myself holding them sometimes.
Yeah.
But in the end, I always
you
got
always
to
get,
use them.
You always get your man.
Yep.
Especially in a two-headed giant game, there's going to be creatures in the graveyard.
Sure. So anyway, black removal.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Get on top of it. There's also a Grisly Spectacle, which I don't think you on your deck, but that's a 4-mana black card, and it just kills any creature. And then you also mill some cards, which is sometimes helpful, especially if you have, like, Death's Approach. It makes it better. But it's just good because it can kill anything.
Great card.
For 4-mana. What a deal.
What a steal. Angelic Edict's 5. All right, esteemed guests.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have a card of the week?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got?
I will claim my card of the week as the Gruul Charm. I don't know how good it is in reality, but we really needed it when we played Two at a Giant, like, multiple times, because we got stomped by flyers. So it costs a pretty tree and a fireball. And it's an instant, and it's choose one, creatures without flying can't block this turn, semicolon, or gain control of our permanents you own, semicolon, or Gruul Charm deals 3 damage to each creature with flying. Mostly we needed to deal damage to flyers. They had a lot of small flyers, and it would have been awesome to take them out and not lose.
Yeah, Gruul Charm, I think it's pretty good. Sometimes it's an insane blowout if they have a ton of flyers. There's also another mode that... that says all creatures with
without flying can't block this turn. So that means they can only block with their non-fly or with their flyers, which usually, you know, they have not been holding back. So between those two, you can usually get some use out of this card.
Wait, Dan, you didn't read the flavor text.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not grew, then die. That is attributed to Borborgrimus.
Sorry, did you just choke on a
No, that's his
toad.
Name. Borborgrimus.
I don't know what accent you're reading that with.
Borborgian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty good card. I probably wouldn't put more than one in unless you know they have a ton of flyers. Which you did, and which we did.
Yes. So. Did you sideboard that in?
We sideboarded the second one in.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it.
No. Should have held the first one longer.
Yeah. Mm. Taylor, what's your card of the week?
Yeah, be honest.
You know, I'm not sure. In this this two-headed giant game, I'm going through my deck, and the cards seem pretty, like, just regular old workhorse cards. I used a lot of Cloudfin Raptors.
He's a star in Simic.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Even in Dimir, he's a star.
Everyone loves him. He's more popular than you were in high school.
Well, yeah. I had the Simic Manipulator, which is a pretty good card.
That
it
bitch.
Speaks for itself.
That
yeah.
bitch.
And I only used it to steal Cloudfin Raptors.
And that was fine.
Yeah. So, okay. Cloudfin Raptor, card of the week.
Yep. And Simic Manipulator is really just a way to get more Cloudfin Raptors.
Yeah. Yeah, you might as well just add another Cloudfin Raptor. Yeah. And save yourself the time.
Yeah. Sweet.
I've heard a lot of people say that in a draft, Cloudfin Raptor is a perfectly respectable first pick.
Yeah.
First pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you open a pack, yeah, if you don't have like an insane rare or some sweet removal or
Biovisionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then yeah, I'd be perfectly happy with that. Goes well in Dimir, goes well in Simic. Let's do it. Let's get it started. Cheap creatures. Always take especially in this format, I advise people to take a lot of cheap creatures early, and if it's close between a cheap creature and expensive creature, take the cheap one, because then later on you're gonna have the option to take really sweet expensive creatures. Whereas you just can only afford to have so many expensive creatures in your deck, or you're gonna die before you ever get a chance to even.
This format is fast.
To even, you know, tap the mana for that thing.
Those seven drops. I you know, at the beginning of when I started drafting, I might have taken them. Now I'm like, nah.
Yep, I just
not
send
them
by. I spit on them, and I'd say to my opponent,
yeah.
Lick my spit up, you seven drop, you scum.
Is that why we keep getting kicked out of things?
Yes. I shouldn't have said it to that guy who was giving us a ride home.
Probably not.
Create a card.
Really great, you guys.
Really great. That was really good.
This is the part of the show where we create a card in our deck that we're building, in our playset.
Mm.
So far, we've created Sleepy Goblin, It's My Birthday, Mothery, and Kool-Aid Man. This week,
that's not great.
we can create a few cards. There's no rules. I was thinking we should create, since we were talking about that date earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Double date. Double date.
Double date's good.
Double date. Okay.
I think it's gonna be a green card.
Yeah, it's gonna be a green card. It's a sorcery.
You what? And target player.
Yeah.
Each pick a creature to go on a date with.
Okay. I'm on the train. Now take me home.
And then one of the pairs gets bored. You make small talk with the target player.
This has to fit on a card, I hope you realize.
Well, they'll come up with a term for it, what I'm describing. Make small talk with target player.
Yeah, the whole set is going to be centered around small talk.
until one person has to get up to go to the bathroom, and then they lose their creature that they picked.
I like it.
So whoever gets bored first loses the creature.
Yep.
Here's, oh my God. Do you want to hear my idea?
Okay. Yes, please, for the love of God.
Double date. It's a green card, costs 4 mana, and it says, target creature you control fights another target creature. Target creature you control fights another target creature. That's double date.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a double pit fight.
Yeah, it's a double. It's a double prey upon, which is the sorcery speed version of a pit fight.
Okay. Gotta make a decision. Which Taylor,
how about put 4 human 1/1 human tokens into play?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Wait, what about this? You put 2 1/1 humans into play, and your opponent also does.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
And then each player flips a coin. If you win the flip,
your date went well.
Then in 9 turns, put another 1/1 human token into play.
This is becoming a set totally about family making.
Sounds good. I want to see the mashup of the Game of Life and Magic the Gathering.
Because we already have Mothery, which had baby counters.
Yeah, there are not enough magic cards that are about, like, saving for your child's college education.
Well, I like the idea for Double Date. Taylor, yeah. I like Taylor's idea, combined with the input from you. So it'll still be green. It'll still cost 4.
So. And there'll still be small talk involved.
No, there won't.
I think we could all agree Magic the Gathering players could do with more socializing.
Yeah, that's something they need to encourage.
Okay. We'll figure that out in another card, Dan.
All right.
All right, I have another card for you guys.
Mm.
Ready.
Flush.
Yeah.
Flush. We were talking about poker. This is where it came from.
I have an idea.
Flush. What do you got, Ben?
It's a white card. It's an instant. And it says, put target attacking creature on the bottom of its owner's library. Use this ability only if you control an artifact and an island.
And you have to make a flushing sound when you cast it.
Sure. You have to make, but then you have to make small talk to cover up the flushing sound. Yeah.
Perfect. We got it in there, Dan. Are you fucking happy?
I'm ecstatic.
Good.
There should be a card that where you small cost is like the activation cost you have to pay to like do 1 damage or something.
Small talk is the activation?
Yeah, so if you can make enough small talk, you can just kill your opponent.
Just like real life.
Just like real life, yeah.
1,000 tiny daggers of words.
1,000 tongue lashes.
Yeah.
Wait, tongue thrusts.
1,000 tongue thrusts.
Yeah. I'm sure I've done way more than that, you guys.
You win.
1,000 tongue thrusts. Great moments in addiction. This is the part of the show where we talk about something in our life that points to our problem that we have.
Yeah.
And exemplifies it.
Now, Dan and Taylor, do you guys feel like you have a problem?
I don't feel like I have a problem.
Okay, then maybe we can just talk about ways you guys could get, like, ways we could help you to have a problem.
Right.
Okay.
We're here for you.
I will tell you, I have a lasting effect from my prior time where I played a lot of Magic. Still to this day, the smell of new cards is very comforting to me.
Yeah.
And always, like, no matter what it is, if it's like a new pack of playing cards or if it's like a new board game that has cards as part of it.
Yeah.
I still think back to like opening.
You catch a whiff of it.
Yeah. Billions of packs and I just sniff them like those old pens that you used to sniff in school, you know.
Okay.
Sharpies. So
you know, the ones with the little characters on it and like it smelled like melon. Did you guys have those pens?
What?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Maria knows what I'm talking about. You
had characters on them?
Yeah, there was like Mr. Apple, and it smelled like apple. It encouraged kids to smell their pens.
Miss Melons.
Miss Melons?
Miss Melons.
Smelled like melons.
Of course.
Mr. Hot Dogs?
Smelled like a penis.
Yeah. What? What does that smell like?
Like a hot dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's right.
If you're doing it right...
I hope I'm not doing it right.
What in what? If you're putting it in a bun.
Yeah. which you will have extra because they don't sell hot dogs and buns in the same quantities.
I do, when I sleep, I do baste my penis in hot dog water.
It keeps it young.
Supple. Yeah. Supple.
I have the penis of a 20-year-old.
I keep my vagina in a rice cooker.
That's good. Yeah, you don't want it to dry out.
Yeah, it's...
Steam.
Power of
get
steam.
Those wrinkles out.
What were we talking about?
Smelling things.
Right.
Yep.
Addiction.
That's mine, the smell of cards.
Yeah, so the smell of cards.
That's good.
How about Taylor? Is there any way we can get you addicted?
Yeah, what can we do?
To get me addicted, give me more magic cards. I don't know.
What if throughout the course of your day, when you got emails, instead of like an email, it's just a picture of a magic card?
Oh yeah.
Or if it was like, look under your desk and you find a magic card taped there.
like the game.
Yeah.
But with magic cards.
Right. And we would just spread them throughout the city in places we imagine you might go.
Yeah.
And we'd tell store owners, if a man walks in with a woman's name,
give him this envelope. And inside will be
a
double
card.
Date card. And then you'll have to make small talk with the shopkeeper to get it. Yes. Got it in there.
Would that work for you, Taylor?
That'd be pretty good start.
Yeah. But then we'd have to all of a sudden pull it out from under you.
Yeah.
And then you'd be jonesing for the...
Yeah. Then we'd stop.
Take a lesson from a pimp. Get him hooked. Take it away. Yep. Then you're the hero.
That's a drug dealer, right?
That does seem like more of a drug thing.
I feel like there's some overlap in that field.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Okay.
Because pimping ain't easy.
No.
But drug dealing is. So you need to balance.
Put that on a shirt.
Easy and difficult things in your job.
Yeah. Right. And like people who are really good at it can just do like 80% pimping.
Yeah.
But people are really bad need to do like
adjust their ratio.
Yeah, it's like when you're a sales guy, but you get like sort of a base salary, and then you get commission on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, just
once, I saw a guy in a pimp outfit with a pimp cane, but he was wearing those shoes that are really just like sticky little feet. Like, they separate out your toes.
Oh, the, like, flip socks or whatever they're called? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They have individual toes.
Right.
Naked feet.
Oh, God. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
That's weird. I was hoping you were going to say the shoes that build up your calf muscles as you walk.
Skechers Shape-Ups?
Yep.
Our other sponsor.
Yeah. That'd be so awesome.
Those would be pretty good. I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm going to be for Halloween this year, is a pimp who wants to get his legs in shape.
I like it.
Pimps are notoriously worried about their calf.
Yeah. I mean, when you have to run after hoes.
Or bros who don't pay.
Yeah. I guess you have to run after bros first, since it's bros before hoes.
Right.
And you got to chase down the Johns. Nice.
Yeah.
I want to tell a story that I heard once for a segment that you should call Urban Myths in Magic.
Ooh, I like it.
So I heard of a card that I don't remember what it's called.
Okay.
Good story so far. But essentially, I think it was you take it and you throw it across the table, and any cards that it lands on are removed from play.
Yeah, Chaos Orb.
Okay. I don't know if you've heard the story, but I guess someone in a tournament took their card and ripped it up into tiny pieces and then just sprinkled it across the other person's play field.
Yeah.
Took all their cards out.
I have heard that. I've heard that legend as well.
All right.
Didn't Nels claim that he, like, saw it?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, so it was real.
But he didn't say the tearing up part. He said, I don't remember. Like, I think he just
That's the whole part.
I feel like that's the part that makes it interesting.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I sacrificed the card.
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
I wish there were more cards with gimmicky things like that.
The other thing that was funny about that card is, like, it's like when you play, you have to play it out and then sacrifice it. So it's like, can you play it out and then your opponent, like, just starts, like, spreading out all their cards? Or, like, is there a rule governing how far apart your cards can be?
What if the table's huge?
Yeah.
Or can the other player cover all their cards with their hands?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can they blow? Can they blow?
Good question.
Is blowing allowed? Is
blowing cool?
There's no rule that says you can't blow.
It's true.
It's magic.
Unless you're at a Russian whorehouse.
Oh.
I feel like the rule would be blow pro blow.
No blowing for free.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If you're like
no
you're...
blow without some dough.
For these hoes. For show.
For show. No.
Nice add-on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You at least doubled the number of rides.
We're doing great work here.
Well, you know, that card, there are strange cards. We learned about this in a previous Magic the Amateuring, in things called an unset.
Yeah, but that was not an unset card. That was a real card.
That's insanity.
It was just really old. It was like, it was when they used to do a lot of cards where they would come up with like an idea for the card first, like giant spider, like, oh, it blocks flyers, I guess. Sure. Okay, giant spider.
I had a giant spider. No big deal.
No big deal. I had 100 giant spiders.
Well, I lived in a basement growing up. There were so many outside my window.
And so they just wanted something that was like, oh, this does really crazy shit. It's an orb of chaos.
Yeah.
And that orb later on went to Star in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Nature finds a way. I want a card where you have to build a house of cards out of your cards.
Yeah.
And like the higher you get, I don't know, the more life you gain, the damage you do or something.
But then when the house falls, you lose all that life.
Yeah.
Every card you put on it, you gain a life.
Yeah.
House of cards.
Cool.
Then that no blow rule. You really want to establish no blow before you start.
Maybe instead of gaining life, you can sacrifice it to draw the cards on the house.
Ah.
But then if it collapses, then
go in your graveyard.
Yeah, they all go in your graveyard.
So sure. It's like Jenga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll call it Jenga House of Cards.
Okay. Can you look at the cards you put in the House of Cards?
You probably can't avoid it.
House of Cards.
Yeah.
We've created three cards this week, you guys.
All right.
Nice work. We're making good progress.
Perfect. Well,
we'll
on
be
our way.
Putting wizards out of business soon.
Yeah.
Wizards, if you're listening to this, watch your back.
Your days are numbered. I know you've made 87 magic sets.
No one can
but
ever
it's
make
time
88.
To move over. No one's ever made 88 in a row.
That's true. No one has ever made 88 magic sets ever.
Good point. So, listener, I hope you're keeping track of all our cards. If you're not, you're your life's probably still going okay.
Yeah, you must have like other fulfilling things in your life, like children or maybe a loved one, spouse.
Children maybe. Or a loved one. Probably not both.
Maybe you have a robot that tucks you in at night. I don't know what your deal is.
That's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening to Magic the Amateuring, episode 10.
Yeah, thanks for putting us in your ear canal.
Thanks for putting us in your love canal.
Why would you say that? Thank you for putting us in your brain, which is the largest love canal in the body.
The skin is the largest love canal.
It's true.
The brain's the heaviest.
But the brain is part of the skin, right?
Yeah.
What?
The brain's an extension of the skin.
You can't regrow skin, just like you can't regrow brain cells. Lesson learned, science accomplished. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Thanks, Taylor, for being our guest this week.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben and Maria.
You're welcome, guys.
Well, Megan Cavort's in Europe.
Yep. She's missing our third podcast host original member. Has been, you know, she's in Europe and it's changed her.
It's changed her, but she's going to go and play a draft in Berlin coming up. And so hopefully we'll get some audio from that because it probably will be quite entertaining.
In German.
Very German.
Wow.
Now everybody say goodbye to the listeners in German.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye, German.